car, but you just
yeah,
get,
right? Right, if you do that.
I was wondering what you thought about those doctors. They're all alike.
Hey, mics are on, guys.
No matter what.
Mics are on.
I got to talk about that, Laurie. I really want to hear the story.
How is this committee phone?
Uncover order.
I will call to order the Joint Committee on Health Insurance Transitions for this glorious summer day of February 9th. And I will call as the first witness somebody from SAFE to talk to us about whatever. whatever you feel like.
Whatever I feel like? That's kind of exciting.
Well, we did have a question, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Yeah. We have one of our members that felt, you know, that DCBS, SAFE would be a better choice than DCBS. And so I really felt it was important because we had had sort of conversations, not in a public forum, why we didn't go the safe route.
I'm going to open a public hearing on SB1 before I call a witness, and now I'll call a witness. Here we are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jay Fraser. My title is Assistant Counsel, but my job responsibilities are for SAFE's regulatory and legislative matters. Some of you may have known my predecessor, Chris Davey. I have trying to fill his very big shoes. And indeed, I understood that there was some suggestion that SAFE might be a good option for this. And first, I would like to thank whoever's idea it was for the confidence that he or she finds in SAFE. We appreciate that. We feel very good about what we do. But SAFE is a monoline, one line of insurance, and we're in one state, Oregon. And that allows us to be really good at what we do because we know it very, very well. And to be really honest with you, we don't know health insurance. It is not something that any of us really understand. Health insurance is very different from workers' compensation. Just a simple example is most benefits in health insurance are really defined by the contract itself. Benefits in workers' comp are defined by the statute. So we look in one place for how we provide benefits to injured workers, and whereas a health insurance company would look to the contract. And I know that the contract now, the law does provide for certain things that must be in the contract, but they still look to the contract to administer benefits. It's a personal line as opposed generally to a business line. We insure businesses as opposed to individuals. It's a little bit different situation. And the Department of Consumer Business Services has been regulating health insurance companies as well as workers' comp insurance companies for many, many years. They have experts there at DCBS who understand and are very, very good with what they do on health insurance. They have separate actuaries. We deal with the personal line, or we deal with the property and casualty actuaries as opposed to the health and life actuaries. So the long and the short of it is thank you very much for thinking of us. And I'm not going to say that we wouldn't do it, because certainly if the legislature said we think that this should be part of SAFE's mission, we would absolutely take it and run with it. But it would take us a lot of running to get there.
Are there any questions in the witness? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nobody's else has signed up to testify, and unless I hear otherwise, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1. Where are we with the amendments, Madam Administrator?
To the best of my knowledge, the last time we checked, we are looking at the dash threes that we talked about last week. We're looking at the dash sixes that came out Friday, and we're looking at the dash sevens that just came out earlier today, all of which are up on OLIS, and we could get hard copies if anybody didn't have a chance to look at them.
And we have all the paperwork on three?
Not yet.
Not even on three?
Not on three. We have revenues on all of them. All of them, the threes, the sixes, and the sevens are all no revenues. I was assured at fiscal by LFO that they were being reviewed and we would have them.
So let's put the three on the table one at a time and see if we can enact them into the bill. And if we don't have the fiscal revenue at that time, we'll stand at ease for a bit and see if we get them so we can, if all goes well, act on the whole bill for it.
Okay.
Can I have a motion on the dash threes?
And you opened your work session?
I did.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Chair, Co-Chair, I move the dash three amendments into Senate Bill 1.
Senator Miles Anderson moves the dash three amendments into Senate Bill 1. Is there any discussion? Could you just review what that is? It's the gut and stuff of the whole bill.
It is, and yeah. It abolishes the Oregon Health Exchange, the Board of Directors. It transfers the unexpended revenues, the records and property. It transfers the powers, right, obligation, and liability to DCBS. It outlines the liability, duty, obligations. And Lori Freeman's in the audience if you really want.
She went through it last time.
Okay.
I think we're comfortable with it.
The dash threes differ from the dash ones in that they makes a fix that was highlighted in Pat's testimony, and I'm a little vague on what that was, but does the committee remember?
It has to do with where the revenue went and a variety of other things.
Yeah, and that's incorporated in the threes.
Is there any discussion on the dash three amendments?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I just want for the viewing audience to clarify that it's not a traditional gut and stuff, which is a replacement of a complete bill. It is actually a replacement and a full amendment, and it's the same bill we've all been working together on.
That's right.
Bipartisan.
It's a complex set of amendments to an existing bill.
That's exactly right.
Existing,
it's not to be confused with the traditional gut and stuff that hits the 6 o'clock news.
Okay. Is there any
My apologies for being late, Mr. Chair.
Let's do the dash threes.
I did.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay. We're all set. All right. Any objections to the dash threes? There. Dash threes are part of SB1, though.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash 166s into Senate Bill 1. That's Senate Bill, the Amendment 6 is dated 2-6-15. And I think we should have an explanation. And the requester was actually Senator Boquist.
Okay, so we have a motion from Senator Manas Anderson to move the dash 6 into the amended version of Senate Bill 1. And as a part of the discussion, would you be
delighted to, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, the dash 6 and the dash 7 come from the same series of events. I think if you'll recall, three members here were in the Oversight Committee originally, and many of us were surprised by some of the events that led to the reason we're sitting here today. Many members did not know of some of the failings, so on and so forth along that. The dash 6 is really, after discussion with Legislative Council and Council is sitting out there, if you need a further explanation, is really very simple. And that is when the department begins the rulemaking process to change the per month, per person fee, that's the fee that they charge on the policy per month to the individual, that they need to notify the 90 members of the legislative body electronically so we know that the proposed fee is coming, and they need to then, at the earliest convenience, explain to the Policy and Budget Committee what is in that fee and why they're changing the fee. Doesn't stop it because there's no constitutional mechanism to easily do that. It just ensures that the legislature is not surprised by the fee increase or the change that we may have been surprised for in the past. And that, in a nutshell, it is Unfortunately, as the good senator to my left mentioned, 4 pages of a very simple thing with some changes. If you'd like legislative council to explain why some of the stuff up front is in black, we'll have to ask them. But I'm assured it is basically a standalone, and it only does a reporting mechanism.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to ask legislative council a quick question on, if you don't mind.
Well, I'm asking Senator Boquist, wouldn't it be true that these things would ultimately need ways and means approval anyway because of changes in the budget?
Mr. Co-Chair, you're exactly correct. And if you recall, in the last meeting, we discussed this, and it was made pretty evident that Legislative Fiscal Office, when this goes down as the regular part of DCBS, the exact same things that we're asking for will become a budget note in terms of going to the Joint Ways and Means process or going to the E-Board. What this does is ensure that all 90 members, when our phone starts ringing after the fee goes up, that we will have the answer in advance and we will know ourselves those answers.
I know that feeling. Yes. Senator Bates.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lori, I think you have to introduce yourself for the record here real quick. I got these just about 45 minutes ago, so I got the dash threes out, went line by line on them. And as Senator Boquist has explained it, I think he's got it correct. The way I read it, it is just a matter of notifying people. But in the first section of it, and this is probably irrelevant, on the first page, there are changes in the language of who does what when as far as advice being given or not being taken by DCBS as far as the advisory committee is concerned. I was just wondering, is there any significance in how that language changed? It seemed like it says the same thing to me. The dash threes and these look the same, but the wording is a little bit different. Is there some reason for that?
Mr. Co-Chair, Madam Co-Chair, Senator Bates, the reason is because, just to make it work grammatically, before it started out saying that the advisory committee would advise the department in establishing a charge. Just to make it work, just to make the section work so that they're imposing a charge and then they're notifying the Legislative Assembly, I just moved that down to a separate line, which begins on line 11. And so it's just saying that DCBS establishes the charge, but the advisory committee advises them.
Okay. It's for clarification or anything else, and that's the way I kind of read it. To the amendment real quickly.
Thank you.
The issue here is only notification, I think, of the Legislative Assembly, but that it could conceivably occur that a increase in fees could happen. We'd be out of session, and then when they came back in, we would have to confirm that or deny it, okay? And that's the basic process we go through, Ways and Means. So I think what we're trying to get to here, if something of this occurs and we're not in session or we're not meeting as Ways and Means at the right point in time, that there wouldn't be a gap there where nobody knew what was going on. I think it's what you're trying to get to.
It's exactly what we're trying to get at. And the best way that we've come up with at this point constitutionally is to make sure all 90 members know that. And then the next interim committee, and as you know, the E-Board would then would review it. And then the standard Ways and Means process. It prevents us from all being surprised on October 1 when it doesn't work.
Ooh.
Oh, my, such cynicism.
I have an empty glass over here. Is this spoken?
We know it's going to work perfectly, and you're going to bask in its glory.
I'm here for the future.
Are there any other questions of our council? Okay. We have a motion on the dash six amendments. Is there any discussion on the dash six? Any objection to the dash six? We now have the dash six. How about a motion on the dash seven?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash Senate bill, the amendment one, the seventh amendment. Seventh amendment.
It's getting late.
It's been a long day. And to Senate bill one that's dated 2/9/15.
Senator Montes Anderson moves the dash sevens into Senate Bill, amended Senate Bill 1. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Just an explanation for the record.
Please.
Mr. Co-Chair, the dash seven, if you'll recognize, is simply the notification. If SHOP requires an IT project to exceed $1 million, that all 90 members here will be notified. And the policy committee, relevant policy committee, and budget committee, of course, would meet at the next normal session. Again, it doesn't stop the process. I think you all know that this was a budget note that was discussed by Mr. Rocco last time. It once again ensures we all know, all 90 members know, if there's going to be a significant IT project related to the rollout of SHOP. I believe from the previous testimony we've heard from DCBS, they don't anticipate anything even exceeding $1 million. And if you'll all recall, the one thing that is odd in here is, as we presently have, DAS must approve all projects above a certain level. So it's, you'll just see the triggering mechanism is DCBS advising DAS, and then they simply copy us on the email. It shouldn't cost anything, but once again, none of us will be surprised to find out that there's an IT project, especially if it's reported by the Oregonian.
Is there any other discussion? Is there any objection to the dash sevens? So moved. We now have Senate Bill 1 amended by the dash threes, the dash sixes, and the dash sevens. We have a fiscal and the revenue report. The report as I read it, which we just got. Does everybody have one?
Yes. Well, the fiscal.
The fiscal, right.
The fiscal but it's on also the dash got sixes revenue and sevens?
No, just on the threes. What you have before you is the fiscal on the dash threes.
Do we need something on six or seven?
Yes. And so we might need some standardies for a minute. Okay. While
Let's just take a look at this one, if you will. Basically, what LFO says on this is that they have preliminary estimates. The estimates are around $45 million for expenses and revenue, and they have an estimate of the number of positions, but they point out it's preliminary and it require a part of the budget process for DCBS to finalize it. I want to take a look at that. We're standing at ease at the moment.
And a question on this, and I know that...
Come back out of ease. Let's go.
Okay, Mr. Chair, on the $45 million, that's their expenditure. And we don't have where their revenues... The revenue is going to come strictly from the $6 million that comes across the comes from Cover Oregon to DCBS, and then the rates from the insurers. I just want to have on the record where the revenue is coming from, and it doesn't.
It sort of says it in the very last paragraph, the revenue projections.
There, they talk, yes. The assessment rates are $966 per member per month.
And some amount for the standalone
dental plans.
Dental plans.
But that this budget is going to be within the confines of not coming. It is not coming from the general fund, let's put it that way.
Oh, it says, although current assumptions about rates and enrollment numbers revenue are expected to cover the expected mm-hmm. expenditures as presented in the table above. But they point out that's a preliminary estimate. We are back at ease waiting for the fiscal impact statements on...
He's right.
There's Rocco.
When do we have
him? Can he just put that on?
Is he carrying anything in his hand?
He is.
So, Mr. Rocco, do you have something for us on sixes and sevens? Everything is at sixes and sevens at the moment.
I guess so, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Ken Rocco, Legislative Fiscal Office.
Let's go back, and we are back in a work session.
Sorry.
Mr. Rocco, please.
Mr. Chair, Ken Rocco, Legislative Fiscal Office. We are working on the sixes and sevens right now. I think they don't substantially change from the dash threes, but we're working on those and should have them any minute.
Should we wait, or you recommend we move ahead on your say-so?
I think we can wait if you could.
Okay,
if you
that's
have,
fine.
If you have 5 or 6 minutes, I think
no
I'll
problem
go back and see where we're at.
Wait, Mr. Chair, could he walk through the for the record,
the dash three fiscal
yeah,
statement?
The fiscal statement that you gave us.
Since his name's on it, he must know it.
So the dash threes, like I said, there's a few minor tweaks to the sixes and sevens and five. Did you do the fives?
No, I'm not doing the fives. I think the question was if you'd go through the fiscal that we just got on the dash threes, that
okay
would be helpful.
I think the most important part is that there is a fiscal impact to the state for 13, 15, and future biennia. But a lot of this is just taking money that was planned to be spent in a non-state agency and putting it into a state agency. So in effect, there's really no increase in cost to the state overall, because we're just taking money that was going to be used outside of the state budget system. What we expect to do is continue to refine these numbers that you see in the fiscal impact statement over the next couple of months, because we anticipate putting the actual costs of implementation of this into the Department of Consumer and Business Services budget bill. And that would happen sometime in May, hopefully in May. Can't guarantee it. The bulk of the initial money that can be used is a transfer of the balances of money in the that Cover Oregon has, and that would be transferred into the new health insurance exchange fund. And right now, that estimate is about $8.7 million that would be transferred. The way the bill is structured, it allows the Department of Consumer Business Services to start using those funds for the current biennium costs. And that will also be dealt with in the agency's budget bill. There are some costs related to what the Oregon Health Authority currently pays for as far as the Cover Oregon information technology projects. That's described in the second page of the fiscal impact. Currently, the Department of Consumer and Business Services expects costs for the current biennium to total about $451,000. And this is for positions that would staff the exchange and to support some of the technical components of the transition. And those costs would start being initiated in May of 2015, the department believes. 15-17 costs are approximately $45.9 million. And again, this is for some permanent positions to staff the exchange and to staff the call center and to provide some technical support components. It is believed, I think, by the department that Cover Oregon would continue to staff the call center through the rest of this current biennium. So there is a table that shows you how these costs break out. And as I mentioned, we're going to be looking at those components of the costs between now and when the department's budget bill gets discussed in the Ways and Means Committee. And then finally, we have a section on the revenue projections, and this is based on the per member per month costs that have not been established yet, but are estimated to be for calendar year 15, $9.66 per member per month for individual qualified health plans and 97 cents for members of standalone dental plans. Then the rates have not been set, of course, yet for calendar year 16 and 17.
I have a question, Mr. Chair. At the top of your chart, you say personal services. That's personal services or personnel services?
Mr. Chair, Madam Co-Chair, it's same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
Personal services are the costs associated with having staff.
Wages, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Question, Mr. Chair?
Line, I think, five is IT professional services. Right. It has a number one, and it jumps. It's zero now, and then it's $24 million in the 15-17 and $23 million in the next one. Is this the cost of the piggybacking on the trying not to say the right word here. You explain it, okay? I don't want to say it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Boquist, these are the costs that the Oregon Health Authority would be paying for and just sending the money over to the Department of Consumer Business Services for the... for the information technology side of the project.
So that's a fee we pay to someone.
I'm not. I'll have to check to see where Cover Oregon gets their funding from. But right now, this is they're doing this currently and making those payments to Cover Oregon. And instead of making them to Cover Oregon, they'd be making them to DCBS.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Right now, Cover Oregon gets their money primarily from the federal grant that's going to be running out, is my understanding.
Thank you.
I would expect this money would come in from the per member per month charge to support the IT needs of DCBS to run the program. I'm guessing that's where it's coming from. And I'm a little surprised there's a drop in IT professional fees. In my personal experience, that's never happened. But still, it's a rounding error, really. We're talking about running this exchange at about $10 per member per month, give or take. So it's well within the realm of what they can do. And then some of that depends on how big the pool is. We're up to 92,000 right now. And those numbers, that per member per month fee will stay pretty stable. The number suddenly drops. Per member per month goes up. If it gets bigger, it goes down. So I think you're in the realm here of what's practical and what will work.
We now have the fiscal on the -7s. I assume the -6s are right behind.
Can I just follow up on that? I'm still confused as where, since the IT is with the federal government, I'm still not quite sure what we're expending the $24 million to. Is that for the federal?
OHP program.
Yeah. Is it the Oregon? Yeah, the Oregon Health Plan piece, or is it?
Madam Chair, would it be helpful if DCBS came in to join in this conversation? Would that be okay with you and Mr. Chair? I mean, I just think maybe, I don't mean to put Mr. Rocco on the spot here, but it seems like we're asking him a lot of questions that.
Mr. Chair, I'd welcome DCBS coming to explain
is
this.
Is there somebody from DCBS? I can talk about this budget number. Come on. Join the party.
Yeah. Or the other option is to get Mr. Allen on the phone.
No, but well, Barry's let's here. See if we can get. Okay. If you can speak to that, come on.
Hello, my name is Barry Leslie, and I am a member of the Department of Consumer and Business Services, or work for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. What you're seeing there under IT professional services is the amount that Cover Oregon currently expends and anticipates expending, Cover Oregon and the Oregon Health Authority, for the existing IT services they use to support the work that they currently do. So that is not a part of what is spent on the federal system. There's a portion of that that's cost allocated back to the Department of Consumer and Business Services from the Oregon Health Authority.
Can I ask a
yes,
question?
Go ahead.
So I'm assuming from page 2, right at the top, that is actually to administer Oregon Health Plan, and it talks about a match that's been agreed to through October of 2015. 75% from the feds, 25% from the state.
Right.
I'm just wondering, in the past, did the feds cover the whole amount and the state is now picking up a quarter of that? And is that what's anticipated in the future?
So, Chair Greenlick, Representative Kenny Geyer, before Oregon went to the federal system, they were using a different technology platform. There is still a significant amount of workload, and you might have heard Director Allen kind of talk about the 2014 recurring work piece. Right. that they need to rely upon their existing IT infrastructure to be able to perform, and that's life changes, anything that you can imagine as kind of a cleanup, the tax credit issue. All of that information that was part of the 2014 plan year still needs to be available so that they can resolve those issues for Oregon consumers. So this is the cost of maintaining those systems so they can continue doing that work. I think what we've tried to do here is, just as Mr. Rocco said, really take the existing budget that they've created and try to put it into our biennial budget. And so these are the most conservative estimates possible in terms of the length of time we'll need to rely upon those systems. Because as you know, sometimes in tax credit situations, those can go on for up to 3 years. So we need to be available, those systems need to be available to resolve those issues. So maintaining those IT platforms is the expense of that 2014 work.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thank you. So can you tell me, after October 2015, is it fully the responsibility of the state? Because this talks about a 75% federal to a 25% state cost-sharing plan. Do you know what happens starting November 1st?
Tell me where you're looking.
I'm looking at the top of page 2 on the fiscal under OHA. I'm assuming that's the same $24 million that we're talking about.
What about the dash 3?
The dash fiscal. 3 fiscal, where it says OHA at the top of page 2.
Oh, you know what, I'm looking, I don't have what you're looking at, I'm sorry.
Assuming the current IT contracts continue through the entire 2015-2017 biennium, OHA would transfer about $24 million to DCPS. CMS has approved a cost-sharing plan through October 2015, 75% federal, 25% state.
Thank you, Chair Greenlink, Representative Kenny Geyer. You're interpreting exactly right. So when I see federal funding, I don't think of OHA, but that is presumably CMS sending OHA money to pay for their 75% portion of those contracts.
Right.
So our Cover Oregon / DCBS's cost, whomever this resides with, would be the 25%.
Correct. I'm just curious going forward what the agreement is with CMS.
Does the state
fully take on that responsibility?
And I'm sorry, I can't answer that question.
Can, Mr. Chair?
Senator Hayward?
Thank you, if I may. I believe, and Ms. Leslie, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that part of the point of doing this is that we separate out Medicaid, which will continue to go through OHA, and commercial insurance, which will go through the new division within DCBS, and which we will contract out the IT portion to the federal exchange. So the part of it that's Medicaid will be completely separate from this, and OHA won't be paying for that. That's federal funds. And the rest of it will be the funds that are gained from the premium, essentially, that the insurers are paying. Am I correct in my understanding, Ms. Leslie?
Chair Greenwood, Senator Hayward, essentially, yes. The quality health plans will be available using the federal platform, and Oregon Health Authority will be using either their existing technology or technology that they pursue in the future. So the technology will be different, with the exception of what Cover Oregon now needs to finalize this 2014 plan year work. And then, I can't speak for OHA in terms of their current system needs related to how they process Medicaid applications.
But essentially what we're doing, if I may, Mr. Chair, is completely disengaging the two from each other up till now. Well, up until...
Up to
a year and a half ago. When we were doing enrollment for the 2014 plan year, the two were commingled. Enrollment in Medicaid and enrollment in commercial insurance were in the same system, and they were commingled. But now the point is that we're teasing them apart, and Medicaid will continue to be done through OHA, whereas commercial will be done through this new division with an IT contract with the federals. The state will still be organizing the exchanges, will be contracting the IT piece to the feds. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
We now have all the paperwork, and we're ready for a motion on the amended bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with the dash 3s, the dash 6s, and the dash 7.
Senator Mona Sanderson moves Senate Bill 1 as amended with the dash 3, the dash 6, and the dash 7 amendments. Your discussion.
I was just confused. I was confused with that process. My apologies, Mr.
Chair.
I was just confused about process. I understood that this committee had Ways and Means Authority. I thought it was acting as a sub and had to go to full, but the answer apparently is that it doesn't. So I was just confused. My apologies.
Two questions. First off, I understand this can't move tonight without suspension of the rules. It has to move on Wednesday. Is that right?
We're scheduled for work session.
Came in today. When did we get the last amendment? This afternoon?
Just now.
More than an hour.
The dash 7 was posted about
3:32,
something like that. Yeah, under 24 hours.
For the latest.
There's still real confusion in my mind about the IT professional fees here. We're supposed to be separating OHA and CoverOregon completely and totally. They have a hard time signing people up now. I assume they're using the call center to a degree, but I'm not clear on that. I'll vote for this amendment and I'll vote it out on the floor. But I'm a little concerned there's confusion about this money yet. I want to research a little bit more. It's probably okay, but I want to research a little
see
bit more.
See if we can get clarity before we get it to the floor, which won't be fun.
I don't think anybody can give us clarity tonight. No. I don't think we can get it.
Clarification, please.
Chair Greenlake, for the record, my name is Matt Stanton. I'm with the Legislative Fiscal Office. We do have some preliminary information about this question. The IT professional services does involve what's in front of you on the fiscal impact statement is the full value of contracts that are already in place. And they anticipate those contracts. The idea on the fiscal impact statement is to anticipate those contracts to continue through the 15-17 biennium. And what happens is there are two pieces to this. There is a small portion that is ongoing, Deputy Director Leslie said about the accessing information for life changes and so forth with the CoverOregon plans. But the rest of the lion's share of the cost is related to enrolling folks on the Oregon Health Plan. And so that contract, it's roughly, and I'm just saying, there's about seven components to these IT contracts, and about a rough average would be about 85 to 90% of that cost is related to the Oregon Health Plan enrollment, with the remaining 15% going to the CoverOregon functions. So those, what's anticipated in the fiscal impact statement is that the existing expenditures that are being made by the Oregon Health Authority will continue to be made via revenue transfer that are being made through a transfer from the Oregon Health Authority to CoverOregon now, will continue to be made from the Oregon Health Authority to DCBS when they take over the CoverOregon functions. But the majority of that, those dollar amounts are related to functions enrolling folks into the Oregon Health Plan. Now, those contracts, as was discussed, there is the 75-25 federal state health share that's done by Oregon Health Authority. We won't know what that distribution will look like until after the federal budget. So it's anticipated that it will continue as has happened in the past, but we just can't say for sure what's going to happen until the federal budget is set.
So,
go for it.
So 75-25 is a pretty common split in this kind of a program. It's what roughly been paying out by OHA all along for the enrollment process. I assume it's tied to MMIS, correct?
Chair Greenlake, Senator Bates, that's not in my area of expertise, so I'm not sure.
Does it go through the call center? This can be taken over by DCBS. Is that where the money is going to?
Yes.
Okay. Follow up. Does this commit us to continuing that call center after the 2015-2017 biennium, or can we renegotiate that point?
Chair Greenlake, Senator Bates, I don't know that at this time that there is any commitment into 15-17 or after the fiscal year 15. My understanding is that most of these contracts for IT services are related to the Oracle situation, and that
nicely said.
There's been a recommendation that contracts be continued until the resolution of that.
Okay.
but it's not nothing is set in stone. And one of the purposes of the fiscal impacts of the statements, some of the verbiage in the fiscal impact statement is to say, and looking at this for DCBS's budget bill is, we don't know yet. This is very preliminary information. We don't even know if the amounts contained in the fiscal impact statement, especially related to the IT service contracts, whether that amount will come to fruition or not.
I have a clearer understanding now. I feel much better about this. Basically, what happened, if I understand it correctly, several years ago, up to a couple of years ago, when we signed people up with Medicaid in the state, we had a very specific way of doing it. We used DHS workers. We had other workers that did it. When Cover Oregon came in, a decision was made to do both all the Medicaid enrollment and the commercial enrollment at one spot, to one system, one of the major factors in the failure of Cover Oregon. I want to make sure we are disentangling that as much as we can. We have a lot of work to do on the OHA side, open up enrollment properly. We're still having trouble over there because we cut off all the DHS workers from doing it. We lost a workforce of over 1,000 people and some other issues we have to deal with. We're going to have to back all that out over the next couple of years and get it clearer and cleaner and get the MMIS system working. But what you're talking about here is we have a contractual arrangement. We're going to maintain that. It is a partially functioning system. Most of the money is to sign up Medicaid patients. I understand that. Small amount for life changes. It all makes sense to me now. I understand where the money's flowing. One follow-up question. I'm sorry it takes much time with the committee here. Where's the charge from the federal government for using their IT technology? Is it in this budget somewhere? I assume they're not giving it to us for free.
Chair Greenlee, Senator Bates, I don't know. It's not in the budget. Is it not in the fiscal impact statement that's in front of you? As far as my understanding right now, and DCBS would be better to qualified to answer the question, but from what I understand is the federal government is letting us use it for free, but that may change at any time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it is free.
Okay.
Well, I just want to get back to my original. So while perhaps OHA is overseeing enrollment for the OHP program, what I understand this writing to say and what I understand you to say is that, in fact, they are contracting with DCBS or handing over the revenue to DCBS to continue administering that program from a technology point of view. You said seven contracts, a lot of it is around OHP. That is for the entire next biennium. And then if you look at the biennium after that, there's $21 million for all IT projects. We don't know which part of that might be OHP or whatever. But just so we're clear what the arrangement is, whether we're happy about that or not.
Yes. Chair Greenlee, Representative Kenny Geyer, that's correct.
Any other discussion on the motion?
I just have a statement because it's not clear to me based on a discussion I had with the DCBS director. So I will clarify that between now and it getting to the floor because that's not clear to me at all.
Yeah, and the OHA director, too. Okay. Any other discussion? Would you please call the roll?
Since we're going to be on the floor.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
No.
Senator Steiner-Hayward?
Aye.
Representative Davis?
Aye.
Representative Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Bocas?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Kinmer?
Aye.
Co-Chair Monis Anderson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Greenlee?
Aye. Motion carries. Who's going to carry it on the Senate floor?
I am, and Senator Boquist.
Mr. Chair, I would ask, while we're still in session here, because I'm clearly slightly confused, and I think there's colleagues across the aisle that need slight more clarification so that we all understand we're speaking the same language when we get to the floor. So I would ask DCBS and Oregon Health Authority to maybe set up a early time to meet with me, and I think maybe someone who's more expertise than I. Would you like to join
me?
Yeah,
what we'll do, we'll get together, get this straightened out, make it, get it perfectly crystal clear to everyone what's going on. I have a pretty good idea what's going on, but I want to hear from OHA to make sure I'm on solid ground here. I think moving money back and forth is appropriate the way they're doing it, and the only way they can do it. But I'll get the information for you. I'll get back to the whole committee.
Okay. And I'll carry it, and Representative Kenmer will carry it on the House floor, assuming you get it out of the Senate and over to us. I will close the work session, Senate Bill 1. My assumption is we'll stay technically as a committee and cancel the meetings as we go along until our leadership has told us our work is done. Is that the way you read it as well? We are adjourned. I guess shiny die. I mean, without a day.
I'll say that part.
Thank you all very much. And Mr. Rocco, thank you particularly for your guys. Yeah. Mr. Rocco, thank you particularly for your guys. Yeah.